desert storm. His love endures forever. For the life that's been reborn, His love endures forever. Sing praise.
Welcome to Finding God in Prison with Joe Montone, the founder and director of the WINGS program, an inmate reentry and recovery program. And now, here's your host, Joe Montone.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God in Prison. My name is Joe Montone, your host, and we're here at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. It's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here on the air with you, and I want to take a moment to thank Frank Eliason for producing our show, and I want to thank Dale and Jane Meyer sincerely for their support of our show, and we really appreciate the opportunity to be here on the air and to bring you the message of the gospel. Our show today is dedicated to all those who are in need of repentance, which basically includes all of us, my friends. But, you know, this show specifically will be geared for, you know, tremendous focus on people who need to gain wisdom, change their ways, develop an action plan for the future, eliminate old habits, and to move forward in the ways that our Lord is calling us to go. And that's our dedication for today. I want to just take a moment to remind you that coming up on July 16th is the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which is a very special day to me because I grew up in New York City and we had the opportunity to go to school at Our Lady of Mount Carmel Elementary School in the Upper East Side of New York. And I can remember, you know, some great times that we had in that school and playing basketball and also going to school with all of our friends up on the Upper East Side and becoming altar boys in second grade through seventh grade. These were very, very unique times where family and our church became really prominent within the community. And Our Lady of Mount Carmel really was a great school that went from first grade to eighth grade. And it was an opportunity to learn about our religion, learn about the Word of God, to embrace some of the beautiful traditions within the church. And I'll never forget some of those special times in which we were serving at the altar as altar servers, serving the Holy Mass for sure, and weddings and funerals and special feast days. And what a great gift and great memories we have in looking back at Our Lady of Mount Carmel at East 116th Street. And, you know, they have a special feast up there, up the Upper East Side of New York, which occurs every year. They also have it in various places in Brooklyn, New York, as well as Manhattan. And the people really look forward to that feast day each and every day. And it's our Blessed Mother who really we are focusing on the Feast of Our Lady Mount Carmel. And, you know, Our Lady comes to us in various ways. You know, she comes to us as Our Lady of the Rosary in Fatima, Portugal, Our Lady of Lourdes. We see in Our Lady of Guadalupe in Mexico City. Tremendous evidence, you know, of the Lord's love for us in sending His Mother to us and helping us to get closer to Him is one of the great missions for Mary, our Mother, truly the Mother of Jesus. And so this month we celebrate the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and we look forward to that feast day, and we'll be going up to New York City next week to take a look at, you know, the feast and to enjoy some of these special Italian foods like sausage and peppers and zeppoles and Italian wine. It should be a beautiful, you know, a service that they do also within the church. In addition to that, the customs of carrying the statue throughout the street to honor our Blessed Mother Mary as the Mother of Christ, as Our Lady of Mount Carmel. is a special feast day coming up. And, you know, just to give you a little bit of information on it in preparation, our Blessed Mother Mary, you know, who is referred to as Our Lady of Mount Carmel, this feast day was instituted in the late 14th century, commemoration of the rule of the Carmelite order 100 years earlier. And legends have it that a religious community was established even before the time of Christ on Mount Carmel. And this is the mountain overlooking the Mediterranean Sea on which the prophet Elijah successfully challenged the priests of Baal and won the people to the true God. And the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel entered the calendar of the Universal Church in the early 18th century. So this is a special feast day, and one of the great traditions and things that our Blessed Mother has given us is the brown scapular of Our Lady of Mount Carmel, which is unique to Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and presented by Our Lady to St. Simon Stock, the then Father General, on July 16th in the year 1251. Our Lady gave St. Simon a scapular for the Carmelites with the following promise, saying, "Receive my blessed and beloved son, the habit of thy order. This shall be to thee and to all Carmelites a privilege, that whoever dies clothed in this shall never suffer eternal fire. It shall be a sign of salvation, a protection in danger, and a pledge of peace." And this is just another powerful gift that we have as Catholics, to really recognize the love of our Lord who sends his mother to us and gives us a tremendous opportunity to get closer to the Lord through Our Lady of Mount Carmel, and which is the celebration once again on July 16th. And again, you know, the year 1251 is special because the brown scapular was given to St. Simon Stock. And the year 1200, you know, is special because the rosary itself, the life, death, and resurrection of Christ, was given to St. Dominic in the year roughly 1211, I believe. But in that century, some special gifts were given to us by our Lord, in that they came through the Blessed Mother Mary. And in the Gospel of Luke, it says that all generations will call me blessed. And, you know, we don't worship Mary. We honor Mary as the mother of Jesus. And the Lord is powerful. And he gave us his mother. He gave us his mother to help us to get closer to him. And it's just a wonderful opportunity as we prepare for the feast day of Our Lady Mount Carmel coming up to get just a little bit closer to Jesus. And, you know, when we talk about faith, my friends, we have to work at it. We truly have to work at it day in and day out, week in and week out. If we're not providing more quality time for our Lord in prayer, if we're not focusing on our spiritual growth and development, it can stagnate and we can move backwards and regress. Just today, I ran into a friend of mine who lives in Bucks County. And I'll just tell you, we did many things together. And he shared with me that he hasn't been going to church. He's kind of, you know, in that position where he's fallen away. Still a great person, a good person, and helping, you know, to do many good things. But in his relationship with God, he needs to get back into it, as he stated to me today. And so we have to work at it, because we do have highs and lows. As people, we have things that come up in life that take us away from our Lord, distract us from our Lord, keep us very busy. And we have to refocus once again and set our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I encourage you, my friends, to refocus. And as our show is dedicated to all those who have to repent, which is all of us, because we're all sinners, okay? And we need to start today to gain wisdom to eliminate old habits, whatever they may be, and to put some new habits in, some habit patterns that are conducive for living a great life, a life of increase that is so important, where we're getting beautiful things from God in life and we're not losing them, which would equate to a life of decrease. And so take a look at yourself. Where are you today? And do you need to repent? Do you need to change your ways? What is the number one change you need to make? Think about it. And you don't have to tell anybody. You can tell God that you want to change this, eliminate that, whatever this or that may be for you, my friends, because we all have things that we need to work on. And the Lord says it best when he says, strive to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. He's the role model to emulate. We want to be perfect like our heavenly Father. We never get there, but we want to eliminate the things that drag us down, distract us, bring us into sin, take us away from the morals, values, ethics that the Lord has set forth for us. Think about it. Think objectively about where you are today and what is it that you need to change. What's the number one change you need to make? And if you need help with that, give us a call at 215-345-1570. Again, 215-345-1570 here at Holy Spirit Radio, and we'll be more than happy to help you with that. But it's a very, very important time today to recognize that we all need to repent, we all need to make changes, we all need to step it up and to become more and more stable, more credible, and to become role models for our children and grandchildren, for our neighbors, and for, you know, the community, to do things right in the midst of a world that is ignoring God, distracted by material things, where money, power, prestige are very, very important to those who are running, you know, countries around the world. Our job in the trenches to really bring the love of God to the people and to live it out. To live it out as children of God, to do the very best that we can, and to show our kids how to do it, to be role models for them. And if you're a teacher out there, my friends, bring the best that you have to your school, to your classroom, to your environment, whatever you can do to encourage our children to do the same is a beautiful thing, and I encourage you to do that. So again, this is a great feast day coming up of Our Lady Mount Carmel, and I encourage you to focus on our Blessed Mother Mary and get closer to the Lord. Give quality time. Okay, I want to go into our readings coming up this weekend from the 15th Sunday of Ordinary Time, which is very important. And we're going to be talking about the first reading from the book of Amos, chapter 7, verses 12 to 15. And here it is. Amaziah, priest of Bethel, said to Amos, "Off with you, visionary, flee to the land of Judah. There earn your bread by prophesying, but never again prophesy in Bethel, for it is the king's sanctuary and the royal temple." Amos answered Amaziah, "I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd and a dresser of sycamores. The Lord took me from following the flock and said to me, 'Go, prophesy to my people Israel.'" The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Amos today, my friends, we see that Amos says, I was no prophet, nor have I belonged to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd, and the Lord took me from following the flock. And he said to me, go prophesy to my people Israel. When the Lord wants you to do something, he will help you to make the change. You know, and Amos goes from a follower of the flock to a leader. So where are you, my friends? Who are you following? Are you a leader or a follower? Are you a captain or a co-pilot? Something we talk about heavily in the Wings program. Because the captain takes care of responsibility. He's the only one who can sign that aircraft logbook. And you know, when a captain in an airliner comes on duty and gets an airplane, a crew, he reviews the logbook and he looks at all of the maintenance items, the required checks, the annual check, the 100-hour check, all of the airworthiness directives, everything that's required for a safe airplane. And he looks at it, then he signs the bottom. After reviewing everything in there, he's comfortable with the aircraft. And it says, I certify that I take full responsibility for my aircraft, my crew, and my passengers. And he signs his name to the bottom. And only the captain can do that. The co-pilot can't do that. Even on a Boeing 777, only the captain can do that. And he takes full responsibility for his aircraft, his crew, and his passengers. So when we talk about, are you and I captains or co-pilots? You know, we want to grow into that area of responsibility that we've been putting off. We want to be great husbands and fathers. We want to be great community servants. To do more. To have a heart to do more. We've got to truly become captains and take ownership of what God calls us to do. And like Amos, the Lord took him from following the flock. And he said, go to my people Israel and prophesy. And this is important because today we see a lot of leaders leading people down the wrong path. And it's up to us to make those corrections for ourselves and our children. It's imperative before things happen that are outside our control and we lose children. We lose ourselves. It's critical that we make the right decision. But with the Lord's help, he will guide us. And we never know who he's going to call, how he's going to call. Like Amos, who says, I was not a prophet, and I didn't belong to a company of prophets. I was a shepherd following the flock. Which flock are you following? Who are you listening to? I want you to think about that, because there's a difference between a leader and a follower, a captain or a co-pilot. Are we following Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords? Are we following Jesus who died for us on the cross and what he says to do and not to do? Are we following someone else? Think about it. I went out for ice cream with my family, and there was a guy in the crowd there who had a license plate, and on the back of his car, it said, I made some reference to him being a follower of the devil and working in the devil's workshop, and that he's here to do things for the devil. There are people out there who are leading others down that path, and it's up to us to choose the good versus the evil. It's up to us to follow in the Lord's footsteps and not to be tempted, okay, and succumb to temptation for whatever our most vulnerable area or greatest weakness is, but to be strong like the Lord Jesus Christ and to basically overcome that temptation, overcome those friends who have a negative agenda to go out and to do someone harm or to manipulate, take advantage of, to do the wrong thing for people. Many years ago in Queens, New York, my cousins had several men come to the door to their home, and they all were wearing jackets from the New York Water Company. And basically, they looked like repairmen. And when they came into the house, they said they're here to check the water pressure. And so one of them came to the main floor, and one of them went upstairs, and the other one was moving around. But basically, you know, my cousins were unable to look at all three or four of them at the same time. And so they let them in, and they allowed them to move through the house. When they were done, they checked the water pressure, but they also cleaned them out and took the jewelry from their bedroom and any money that they may have had. But they were victimized. And this is by people who choose to do wrong to other people. And so they're out there. And who are our kids following today? What are they doing on Friday night, Saturday night? What are they doing in the summertime? Who's watching over our children? A great message from our program today as we get into it. Are we leaders or followers? And if we're followers, who are we following? I want you to think about it because it's important. Let's go on to our second reading, which is so important, from the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 3 to 14. And once again, from the book of Ephesians, we listen to the words of St. Paul, who's very powerful. And here it is. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavens, as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world to be holy and without blemish before him. In love, he destined us for adoption to himself through Jesus Christ, in accord with the favor of his will, for the praise of the glory of his grace that he granted us in the Beloved. In him we have redemption by his blood, the forgiveness of transgressions, in accord with the riches of his grace that he lavished upon us. In all wisdom and insight, he has made known to us the mystery of his will in accord with his favor that he set forth in him as a plan for the fullness of times, to sum up all things in Christ, in heaven and on earth. In him we were chosen, destined in accord with the purpose of the one who accomplishes all things according to the intentions of his will, so that we might exist for the praise of his glory, we who first hoped in Christ. In him you also, who have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and have believed in him, were sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit, which is the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption, as God's possession, to the praise of his glory. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the book of Ephesians today, St. Paul tells us that God chose us before the foundation of the world. He chose you and I, my friends, to be holy, without blemish. So how is it that we proceed if we want to be holy? We want to live a holy life. How do we do that as civilians, as lay people, non-religious? How do we do that? How do we live a holy life? And when we look to the Word of God, God gives us basic instructions before leaving earth. In the Word of God, He gives us the guidance and direction. In each and every reading, Scripture will give us the way to go, how to proceed. And it's so important because God calls us to be holy. Okay? And we're not perfect. And we're not machines. We're human beings. We're prone to make mistakes. But we want to work at it and love God so much that we want to please Him versus disappoint Him. Well, we've all disappointed God at one point or another. We've all made mistakes. But we learn from those mistakes and we gain wisdom. So important. He calls us to be without blemish, to avoid, you know, things. And what kind of things do we need to avoid, my friends? You know, when we look at people who have drinking problems, sometimes they get tickets. And we've had Men in the Wings program with thousands of dollars of traffic tickets, speeding tickets, parking tickets. We've had people with DUIs, multiple DUIs. We've had people with DUIs on revoked licenses. And this is important. And these are blemishes on your record. Your credibility is affected in the criminal justice system. When we see people with tickets and DUIs and revoked licenses, people who have served, you know, jail time, our job is to make corrections to avoid those things in the future. And in the Wings program, my friends, we have a man who had 72 arrests. Okay, and he was very, very busy. We've had guys who've committed 20 burglaries. We've had all kinds of people come through the Wings program. We've had people who have passed on due to addiction and overdose because of fentanyl and opiates and crack cocaine and methamphetamine and alcohol. And we've had people who had, I remember once at a recovery home where we went for 7 years at Frankfurt Avenue, the House of Adonai. There was a gentleman there who had served over 15 years in prison, all due to his lack of self-control with alcohol. He had lost his family. His kids suffered greatly, and he was in his 40s, and he had many DUIs. And I said to him, I said, how long are you going to do this? You're in your early 40s now. We're running out of time. His credibility has been affected. It's been impacted by many DUIs, many traffic tickets. And this is important. I remember another gentleman that I went to court for who had graduated from the Wings program. A guy who had problems with alcohol, drugs, and just the lifestyle. And one day, driving through South Philadelphia, he ran down a little girl. And, you know, she was physically affected in a great way. And she was a young girl when this happened, like 8 years old. Well, he attended the Wings program inside the Philadelphia Department of Corrections and had done very well, graduated. It's now 4 years after the event, and he had served time. And we went to court for him, and as we're preparing in the courtroom, The judge is there, the jury's there, and the little girl and her mother are there. And it's 4 years later, she's now 12 years old. She had suffered fractured bones in her face. She had been stripped naked of her clothing as she was dragged more than 100 feet under a car. And so as the case went on, the first witness was her mother. And the little girl's mother got into the witness stand, and the first thing she said was this: "Why did you run my little baby girl down? Why didn't you stop?" And at that point, I was speechless. And I was waiting to see what else she would say. And inside, I'm wondering, what am I doing here, my friends? What am I doing in this courtroom on behalf of this gentleman who was out of control and hurt her little baby girl? Well, when she got off the witness stand, I realized that the little girl was sitting directly behind me. And again, it was now 4 years later. She was 12 years old. And as the case went on, the defendant had an opportunity to address the court. And he made an apology to the court. And when he was done, the judge said to him, "You know, I've been a judge for almost 30 years, and I've heard a lot of apologies in the courtroom, but you show no remorse in your apology." He said, No, Mr. Montone, I feel no obligation to reduce this man's sentence. And he has two infractions from inside, blemishes while serving time. But also, he said to the defendant, he said, "You know, you have a history of driving on a suspended license. So today, I cannot give you a break. And you're going to get 8 to 16 years. And that's what he got. And he went upstate to serve time. So unless we work on eliminating these blemishes, our credibility is diminishing. Our stability, our credibility, and any thought about being a role model to other people is gone. Because we have to live it out first and then become role models. We have to be the people we say that we are. We have to be the change we want to see in the world. We have to live it out," said Gandhi. Very important. And this was a true story in the courtroom within the Criminal Justice Center in the city of Philadelphia. We went to court more than 100 times for many men, as we had close to 1,800 men, maybe 2,000 men in our program within the prison and also within the recovery home. This is important, my friends, that the Lord calls us. He chose us before the foundation of the world. Number one, to be holy, and number two, without blemish. So as we proceed throughout the week, are we staining ourselves or are we cleansing ourselves? Which is it? Are we getting cleaner or dirtier in the eyes of the Lord? Because only the Lord can judge us. Okay, and I just tell you, in the Wings program, we've lost many people to overdose, car accidents. Many people have been sentenced to life in prison. We've had some who were given a death penalty and are still on death row. But our job is to do the very best we can. We have redemption by his blood, my friends, says St. Paul. Forgiveness of our mistakes and transgressions. The Lord did it. He gave us this. In Him who is Jesus, you have heard the word of truth. How often are we in the word of God? Are we hearing the word of God? Are we living out the word of God? Or do we ignore it? Is it just a nice book that's closed with dust on it? Or do we take it out? How often when we go to a church service, a Christian service, a Catholic service, and we hear the word of God, we read it, we hear it, and we listen to a homily, a sermon, are we living it out once we leave the church? Or is it just something nice to listen to once a week? I want you to think about it, because the standards in America and throughout the world need to rise. We need to help raise the standards to ensure that the future is not bleak, but it's more secure. That future is based on the rock, the Word of God, the foundation of the world. Very important. In Him, Jesus, you have heard the gospel of your salvation. We're here at Holy Spirit Radio. Our mission is to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's what He told the apostles to do 2,000 years ago in the upper room. He gave them that commission. It's powerful. And we're doing it with the help of EWTN, the Eternal Word Television Network, through the incredible miracle that God worked, that the Holy Spirit gave to Mother Angelica and the sisters, which is so important, and the incredible priests who bring to us the Holy Mass, the Holy Rosary, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, the great Word of God, each and every day throughout the day, the teachings, the preachings. In Him, Jesus, you have heard and have believed in Him. There are those who don't believe in the true presence of Christ in the Eucharist. There are those who don't believe in Jesus Christ, that He was only a prophet, that He never rose from the dead. What do you and I believe, my friends? In Him, Jesus, you have heard, sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, the first installment of our inheritance toward redemption as God's possession. It's powerful. The Lord gave us the Holy Spirit, which He promised us. We are receiving that in baptism, in confirmation. The Spirit lives within us, and He guides us and directs us in the right way to go. It's very simple to discern whether or not it's the Holy Spirit talking to you and I, because if it's something that is linked to bad intentions, it can never be from God, because God is the creator of all good things. We've got to discern when that voice within us tells us to do something immoral. It's not from God. When He tells us to do something that's illegal, it's not coming from God, because the commandments are there. They're straightforward, easy to read, simple to understand. You don't need to go any further, because the Word of God has been given to us with simplicity, clarity. The Lord is a teacher, master teacher, so there can be no confusion, no ambiguity. All gaps are closed, leaving no stone unturned. But then we have free will, and we can choose to do right, or we can choose to do wrong. Again, like in our first reading today, where is the flock going, my friends? Are they with God or against Him? Where is the flock going? Where are your children going? Many years ago on a commercial, I remember growing up in the 1960s and early 70s, Saturday night at 10 o'clock, the commercial would say this. It's 10 p.m. Do you know where your children are? And I pose that question to today. Where are your children? Do you know where they are? What they're doing? Who they're with? Who their friends are? Do you know what they're involved with? What they're studying? Let's engage with our children. Let's converse with our children at the dinner table, in the living room, in a church on Sundays, at the breakfast table. Let's not spend minimal time. Let's maximize our time and capitalize on the fact that we have been blessed with children and grandchildren. And let's not lose them, which can happen. And we have an opportunity here, my friends, because the Lord said to the apostles in the gospel, He said, come and follow me and I will make you fishers of men. Again, who are you following? The Lord Jesus Christ or someone else? There's no time like the present to make changes. And if you need to make those changes, I encourage you to do it now. Don't put it off. And be like some people say, I'll do it tomorrow, and procrastinate. Do it today. Don't put it off till next semester or next year. Do it today. Time is of the essence. We're going to move now to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 6, verses 7 through 13. And here it is. Jesus summoned the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. He instructed them to take nothing for the journey but a walking stick. No food, no sack, no money in their belts. They were, however, to wear sandals, but not a second tunic. He said to them, wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, leave there and shake the dust off your feet in testimony against them. So they went off and preached repentance. The 12 drove out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And in the Gospel of Mark today, the Lord tells us that He sent them out two by two. Jesus sent the apostles out two by two and gave them authority over unclean spirits. But He didn't just send them out. He sent them two by two to lift each other up at times when things were difficult, when they were challenged by people who were opposed to the faith, people who didn't want to hear the message, and they were disappointed. They were discouraged, but they were sent out two by two to lift each other up, to care for one another. The Lord says, whatever you do for the least of my brothers, you've done it for me. And lifting one another up in spirit. Going on to the next house. And He says to them again, take nothing with you. No food, no sack, no money, nothing. Because Jesus always provides, my friends. The Father, our Father in heaven, always provides for us. But we have to trust. And it's a real test when Jesus says, take nothing with you, no food. That's not something we as humans are comfortable with. We carry pocketbooks and purses and wallets. We have all kinds of things in our cars, just in case. We have insurance policies for almost every technical device that we have, from cell phones to televisions to microwave ovens. We have insurance. But the apostles had no insurance. They had only the Lord. And He provided. He provides for everyone. Whatever place does not welcome you or listen to you, shake the dust off your feet and move on. Has that happened to you, my friends? Have you ever been in a position where people didn't want to listen to your message? Didn't want to hear your blessing? Whatever place does not welcome you, if you are unwelcomed, they don't want to listen to you. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Don't let other people force you to compromise your standards, your morals, values, ethics, biblical principles, and take you down. Don't allow it. Keep God first in word and action. Stand up for God in those relationships, but pray for the other person. It could be a wife. It could be a husband. Could be children. Pray for them, but don't let them take your faith and toss it around, destabilize it. Stay focused on the Lord, and the Lord will listen to your prayers and answer those prayers in His time and in His way, because it takes time for people to make changes. Just like St. Paul had to change himself. St. Augustine had to make great changes. You and I have had to make great changes. This is very, very important as we move forward to understand the Word of God, that the Lord called them to go out two by two, because of the challenges that they were going to be faced with. And you may be challenged with that. I knew a woman from our church who was married to a man for many years, more than 50 years, 60 years. But his mom had a real beef against the Catholic Church. As a result, they were married in the Catholic Church, and he said, you can raise our children in the church, but I'm not going to go to that church. And for over 50 years, they went to separate churches and didn't enjoy the blessings of that Sunday morning together within the church. A great cross to carry in itself. But this is what can happen when you have division because of faith or pride or ego, territorialism. There are many challenges that we can face. But don't compromise your faith, because God is number one. Everything else comes after that. In the Wings program, we teach God first, then you, then your family, and then your work, then community service, and then hobbies and sports. God number one, you number two. We get that straight. Everybody else comes after you, because the stronger you are, the more you can do for your family, my friends. You've got to be strong to be a good husband, a great father. You've got to be strong to work and work hard to provide for your kids, to provide a home, food, clothing, education. You got to be strong. You can't compromise your faith because God will bless you. And the blessings of obedience in the book of Deuteronomy confirm that from Moses himself, that we will be blessed in all these areas if we live up to the Lord's commandments. It's powerful. And we don't want to make God an obligation and put him last. We want to put him first in word and action, because actions speak louder than words. God doesn't want lip service. He's calling for the real deal. Like that commercial we see often with that insurance company. You want the real deal? Absolutely. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's the real deal. And we've got to live up to our calling. This is important, my friends. And the Gospel of Mark is just filled with guidance and direction today. Whatever place you go, if they don't welcome you or listen to you, what are you there for? Why would you stay in a place that you're unwelcomed? Because of the Lord's message. People don't want to listen to you because of the Lord's message, the message of the gospel, the word of God. Why would you want to stay? Dust off your feet and move on. And if you're out there, my friends, and need to repent, we start today. Change your ways. Make a list of 10 things you need to do. 20 things. It doesn't matter how long the list. Whatever you need to change, we want to start today and make it happen. And the Wings program is filled with people who made great changes. I remember a guy in our program at the recovery home. We call him 6-9. And he drove for 25 years without a driver's license. And in our program, one of the things we did was help him to get his driver's license. And when he got it, it was clean. He had no trouble. But we have men and women who've made great changes. And not giving lip service, but made the changes. We have one of the best guys in the Wings program, Jeff Collins, who passed by our classroom within the House of Corrections and saw me teaching on the A block. And he said, what's this program? And I said, well, why don't you come in and sit down and stay a few minutes and see if you like it. It's the Wings program. And Jeff graduated from the Wings program, and he had to make some changes because of drug and alcohol issues. And at 51 years old, Jeff got his GED at 51 years old because he was defocused and not putting his priorities in the right order. And the first thing he did was graduate the Wings program, and he had to get his mind right even before getting his GED, because when you're under the influence of drugs or alcohol, your mind is not your own. And he had to go to Gaudenzia down in Philadelphia, and he graduated that drug and alcohol rehab course. I went to the graduation and enjoyed seeing Jeff step up to the plate, increase his stability and credibility by graduating from that program. And then he went for his GED, and he would call me periodically and said, man, This chemistry is killing me. This math is killing me. I said, I know, Jeff, it's tough. I said, but stay with it. You're going to do it. Take it one step at a time. One page at a time. And at 51 years old, Jeff got his GED. And then he moved on. And I said, Jeff, what are you going to do now? What do you want to do? He said, I think I want to drive and get my CDL license. And Jeff got his CDL license through Allstate. He had to take out a loan, but he did it. Paid it back. And got an apartment. And moved forward. Now he's driving for years. And he's driving with a clean record. He has no trouble with drugs or alcohol. Jeff has changed his ways. And he keeps God first. It's powerful to see men and women make great changes with the help of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there are many examples like Jeff, who in the beginning were doing other things for the wrong reasons. Okay? And we have Jacoby McFadden, another great example of what can be done. A man truly who puts the Lord first. A guy who used to run drugs and weapons on Amtrak and Greyhound up and down the coast. And when I met him in a pizza place, I gave him a great talking to in the Wings program for about 90 minutes and helped him for a couple years to make the transition, to repent, to focus, because people will need help. And the Lord says, whatever you do for the least of your brothers, you've done it for me. So we are called to do that because God lives within all of us. But we have to make changes. In the springtime, we have a day called Ash Wednesday, where we all go to the church for the ashes. And the priest will put the ashes on you, and he says, you know, turn away from sin and be faithful to the gospel. Well, we have to live it out. We have to live it out to be a true disciple and to not just, once again, give lip service to God. God calls us to be the best men and women that we can be, the best husbands and wives, sons and daughters, brothers and sisters. Let us go forth today, my friends, giving the very best effort that we can to raise the standards and to live those standards out ourselves and to become role models for other people. This I pray for you and for me in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. My friends, that's our show for today. Thank you very much for tuning in with Finding God in Prison here at Holy Spirit Radio. May God bless you and keep you. And again, we'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio. Have a great day and God bless.